Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. Indeed, hope everybody had a fantastic Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the holiday season right around the corner. Slee, it's this last month of the year. It goes by in like 5 minutes.
I know.
It goes by.
Can I tell you something depressing? Not that I don't know why I'm setting it up.
Can't wait.
College football. I'm like, wait a minute.
Over.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's basically done.
Yeah.
And the NFL, listening on Sunday night or watching Sunday night football, and they're already talking about only a few weeks left in the year. I'm like, don't tell me that.
What's your favorite event's left? The CFP is left, Al.
You are a huge college football fan.
I was so depressed yesterday, too. I thought I was going to go. Am I right or wrong? Is the Rose Bowl always on January 1st?
Unless January 1st falls on a Sunday and then it's on the 2nd.
Son of a. I was getting ready to buy tickets. I've never been. I think I told you, I've never been to a Rose Bowl. I've never been to the actual Rose Bowl game.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at the Lakers schedule. They got the 31st and the 1st off.
Okay.
I'm like,
do they play the 2nd?
Play the 2nd.
Oh, no. Do they really?
So I looked at it, and I don't even care about the matchup.
I wouldn't even let you eat some of my tailgate.
I was like, I don't even have to do anything. I just go to Travis's tailgate. Freaking eat everything there.
Yeah.
I'm already in Pasadena, and I look at the schedule. I'm starting to look at tickets. I'm like, wait, the 2nd? They're not playing on the 2nd.
If January 1st falls on a Sunday, the game gets moved to the following Monday.
Thanks, Rose Bowl.
Yeah, well, you can thank the city of Pasadena.
Thanks, Pasadena.
Your fine municipality is on the hook for that one. Congratulations to Brandon in Pomona. Brandon won a pair of tickets to go see Utah and USC in the Pac-12 Championship. That's coming up on Friday. And it really is pretty remarkable, Slee, that in 1 year, Lincoln Riley was able to do what he's done. We'll get into that. Caleb Williams, okay, real quick. Let's say he has a clunker in the Pac-12 championship game. Okay, I don't think he will. He's a terrific
player.
But they win. Okay, either way, win or lose. Is there something that could happen on Friday night where he doesn't win the Heisman Trophy? I'm not sure there is. I think he's got it in his back pocket.
It would be the only bad game of the year. He hasn't had a bad game so far.
He was actually really good in that loss.
Right.
It would have to take a really bad game. They get their you-know-what's kicked by Utah. That kicks them out of the college football playoff. A lot would have to go wrong, and he probably still is set up to win it.
Because there's no one else that's just kind of sitting there. C.J. Stroud was the other guy that felt like he was kind of and then they got trounced.
Yeah, he had a bad
Saturday. Everything that needed to break SC's way did. Everything needed to go. They took care of business against Notre Dame. He had a national coming out party. Not that they haven't had national games, but that's 2 weeks in a row where you're like, oh, he's the best player in the country. Against UCLA, against Notre Dame. Ohio State loses at home by 22 points, so they're done.
Yep.
LSU loses to a bad A&M team. That's their third loss. So going into the SEC championship game, even if they pull a huge upset, they're not going. Georgia still goes. They just need to beat Utah.
You know how sometimes you say it's his to lose? We're talking about the Heisman.
Yeah.
You're right that it's really tough to make a case against him, even if things didn't go as planned. I think SC is going to win. The fact that it's Utah again, I think, is of benefit to them because you lost to that team by one. They just got to handle business for more weeks.
The downside to Utah is that Utah will do everything that they need to do to be a tough out.
They
won't commit a bunch of penalties.
Yeah.
They won't turn it over.
Yep.
They'll do all of those things that make it very hard to just – because, look, SC took it away from Notre Dame. SC took it away, four times against UCLA? It's going to be harder to do against
especially
Utah.
The timing of when they get their takeaways, too, is at the end of the game when it matters most, some of these takeaways.
So where does Caleb Williams line up for you in like this pantheon of USC quarterbacks? So you guys have been here for longer, and you guys have seen more of this stuff. But comparative to the Carson Palmer and the Matt Leinart, it's like, where does Caleb Williams right now in this 1 year stand for you guys?
It's really different. It's because you know, you have Palmer, Leinart, and those guys are Heisman Trophy winners. They've had other really good quarterbacks come through here, whether it's Rodney Peete or Paul McDonald or Mark Sanchez, John David Booty. Like, they've had some of these guys come through that have been very, very good. And Keaton's – who was the kid that – Matt Barkley. They had good SC quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And they kind of came through it, right? You knew they were here. Maybe they played as a freshman. Maybe they didn't. They were good. This dude just showed up and was, I'm the best player in the country. It feels different, but as far as what he does on the field, it's exactly the same as those guys. He's putting up numbers that are second to none.
Does he feel more like a hired hand because he wasn't acquired from USC from the start?
Next year could feel different, Al. Don't you think that if he comes back, and he's coming back, right?
Yeah.
Because he's not draft eligible until 2024. If he comes back and gives he doesn't have to win the Heisman Trophy again. But if he comes back and does it's like, okay, we've seen – it's familiar. You've seen him in the field, in the uniform, with this team. And by the way, this is going to be kind of SOP in college football moving forward. Travis Dye was one of the best running backs in Oregon. He's an SC. Mm-hmm. Spencer Rattler was at Oklahoma. He's at South Carolina, got a couple of wins. Caleb Williams is here. These guys move around a ton.
So that's the difference.
It's the new normal.
That's the difference is, you know, we've talked about SC a couple different times. Part of the reason why they're good right now, part of the reason why it's not just Lincoln Riley coming to USC, and I'm not saying that he didn't pull the weight because he came, that's the first one to, that's kind of the trigger effect of it.
Sure.
But it is the transfer portal, and it is basically free agency.
And he got the right guys.
And it's basically free agency. So when we're comparing to other past USC quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, if you didn't know much about him 4 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, 8 weeks ago, maybe SC is not... Maybe you live in LA, but you're not paying that close attention to college football. Today, you know exactly who he is. You know what he brings to the table, which leads me into next year, now that you actually got X amount of weeks with him, now that you got a full offseason with him, his name is only going to get bigger and brighter in LA.
The biggest difference between him and these other guys, and time will tell, and I'm putting the cart way ahead of the horse here. He feels like he has a skill set that will translate to become a much better NFL player than these other guys we're talking about, with the exception of Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer was a terrific NFL quarterback. Put up big numbers, was on an MVP shortlist a couple of different times. But the rest of those SC quarterbacks were not good NFL players. They were somewhere between average to well below average. You look at this guy, he's big. He's fast. He's athletic. He can run. He can throw from the pocket.
First too.
He's smart. Like, he doesn't take hits. Mm-hmm. He gets down on the, like, all of the things. If you're saying, build me a quarterback, it's number 13 right there. I don't need to build you one. It's right there.
And you think about the other Lincoln Riley quarterbacks that have gone to the NFL with him. It's Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield. They looked great, and they were
don't
super
forget
excited.
Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts, yes. And they all, you know, Baker Mayfield aside, have had somewhat of success in the NFL. So hopefully, again, that is a Lincoln Riley thing that carries over for Caleb Williams as well.
A lot of times in college, these coaches will just take advantage of, I'm just trying to win in this league. I don't care what you end up doing. I'm not saying all of them, but I'm just trying to win right now. He has a tendency to throw first, which I like, which will obviously work in the NFL. And you just pointed out, if you go look at any of those SC highlights from this weekend, this is a stupid thing to point out, but I'll point it out.
He's sliding. You don't get to hit him. You know who else never gets hit? Patrick Mahomes never gets hit. He slides. Did you see yesterday with Aaron Donald where he pops up? He's like, hey, man, like, you know, no way. You don't get to hit me. I'm getting down on the ground.
After he did everything, he scrambled. Notre Dame doesn't know what to do. He goes, he looked like he ran 80 yards in a play and it was only a net gain of 20 or whatever it was, 25. He slid.
Yep.
Right there, I'm like, yeah, that's a really smart play.
He gets it. And the Oklahoma thing that you were talking about, Emily, you left a part of this out. Mayfield and Murray are little. The list of good NFL quarterbacks who are little is really short.
Yeah.
It's incredibly – it's literally one guy long. It's Drew Brees. He's kind of the only
and
one.
And Russell Wilson for a time period.
But Russell Wilson's not short like those guys are.
Right. Doug Flutie, a small guy, but he's not this. He's not considered
half his life in Canada.
Right.
You know, it's I get it, yes. But Caleb Williams is not a little guy. Caleb Williams has all of those things. And you start to look around the rest of the NFL, and you start to see Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Matt Stafford, some of these guys that are on the other side of their 30th birthday, in some cases 40th birthday. These guys stand in the pocket. They look down the field. They deliver the football. You look at the young guys now, yeah. Mahomes, Allen, Lamar Jackson, and Tua. Like, you got to go through it. They're not running quarterbacks in the sense like Michael Vick was a running quarterback.
Even Justin Herbert.
Yep. They can move their feet.
Buy a little time.
They can get out of the way. They
I could go get a first down for seven yards, and then, okay, we're on to the next play. They're just enough. I mean, some of them are real threats. They can run any time, but they're just enough of a threat to where it's, okay, I got to respect that this guy can get those yards to go get a first. And that's the evolution of the quarterback.
It went from you have to be a guy that's in the pocket mm-hmm. to if you're in a pocket, you can move around a little bit, but don't have a running quarterback to, yeah, either one of these things will work to now think about it. Who is a young quarterback in the NFL that stands there in the pocket and just surveys the field and delivers the football? There's really only one that I can think of. It's Jared Goff. Mm. Jared Goff is the only guy who's a relatively young player who just stays
in the pocket
and looks down and throws the ball. They're not moving him around. Every other guy that's come off the board early, not they're not all good, but they all kind of fit into that. I think Kyler Murray kind of not a very good player, mm-hmm. but they're all of that mode where, yes, I can throw from the pocket, but I can also create something with my legs, and Caleb Williams is that dude. And, oh, by the way, he's huge and fast and really smart. Can't wait. You've said this a million times. It is so exciting to have a college football team here again that is, A, really good, but B, exciting to watch.
They're the best product of football right now in L.A., period. It's not even close. They're the best product of football in L.A. The Rams played yesterday. The Chargers played yesterday. Neither team, in my opinion, at this stage, right, relevant. Rams were carrying that weight for a long time, and now all of a sudden Saturday football has become what most SC fans and most college football fans were hoping for.
And UCLA's sixth best team in the Pac-12. I can't help it. It just feels it's like kind of cute. They almost lost to Cal. I wanted it to happen so badly. It didn't happen, but I was pulling for it. Strike quick phone call here. Let's go to Valencia and Lou. Lou, you're on with Travis Lee. What's going on?
Hey, it's Lewis. Hey, yeah. Man, it's so exciting to be a USC fan right now. I was telling Emily, like, in your first year, you've gotten the Golden Shillelagh back, the victory bell back. You beat UCLA and Notre Dame in the same year for the first time since 2016. We are going to the Pac-12 championship. If we win the Pac-12 championship, you're going to the playoff. And, oh, by the way, we're probably going to put the Heisman back in Heritage Hall. Heritage Hall gets the Heisman, the Golden Shillelagh, and we get the golden bell back, or the victory bell. Like, they've literally checked every single box in Lincoln Riley's first year. This is insane.
It really is, Lewis. Thanks for the call. They got to win on Friday. If they lose on Friday, all of this is a really good year, but damn, were we close.
It's deflated. It actually goes back to what Greg was saying a couple weeks ago, where he's like, well, I get that if before the season started,
yeah,
you would have said, all right, you got this far, or you won this many games, you'd have been like, oh, great, what an awesome season, but you've already got this far. Get a little greedy.
We've come this far. Let's finish the deal.
Yeah.
We've finished the deal. The only thing, again, with the giant caveat of they need to win on Friday.
Yeah.
After that, let's go see if we can win the national championship, which seems absurd.
But it's
which seems absurd. But
hey, if you get in the tournament, you're in the damn tournament.
And you got the best player on the field. No matter who you're playing, I got the best player. It's not basketball where that could be, you know, Steph Curry at Davidson.
Sure,
it's not
sure.
quite like that. Yeah. But if I have the best player, I've always got a chance.
And it would be home field advantage.
Yeah, in the finals it would be.
Yeah.
The other semis are in Arizona and
I don't know where the other one is.
Atlanta?
I gotta look it up.
I think it's Atlanta. I think it's Arizona and Atlanta are the
two. It's in Qatar.
Who did they pay? Who did they set up?
No, this just naturally every 4 years.
Lottery.
Portugal, it's a lottery.
1-0 lead here.
Uh-oh.
Ronaldo.
It's a lottery.
Ronaldo again?
Yeah.
5 World Cups he scored in. That's
what if they
like
opened up the college football championship to other countries?
Well, I know where it would be. They got nice stadiums over there. New subway system.
SC Utah Pac-12 championship in Russia.
Doha.
Sochi.
The Lakers and the Pacers tonight. Buddy Hield and Miles Turner in the house. Are they going to stay? It's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, you heard it right there. Caller number 7 is going to win a pair of tickets to the Raiders and the Rams on December 8th and a shot at $1 million. Caller, are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Cesar Zamora, calling from Brea.
All right, Cesar Zamora in Brea, what is your $1 million prediction?
I'll go ahead and take the Eagles 21, Chiefs 17, and I'll take the Eagles.
All right, Eagles over the Chiefs, 21-17. Cesar Zamora in Brayer, congratulations. Got to go chalk right now, right? This is the time of the year where you got to play a little bit of game theory. Eagles and Chiefs are the top two seeds in their conferences. Cesar went a little low scoring, 21-17.
Yeah, but got a little higher.
Super Bowl can be, you know, you never know what you're going to get quite in a Super Bowl. I like that pick. Good job, Cesar.
Yeah, well, what am I to give some advice? I did awful again this week, didn't I? It was bad.
Did Greg pick for me?
He did.
On Tuesday? How did he do?
Hold on. You're going to be pleased, Emily.
Okay, good.
Should have pick for me?
Hold on. Let me find week 12 here. Don't forget, you got another chance, Million Dollar Monday. Mason in Ireland today, Sedano and Cap as well. Emily, I don't know if this counts as a weekly win for you,
okay. But
you did. You and Taylor both had 5 points.
All right.
So not a great week for anybody, but you guys do have you split the overall weekly win. You each get 5. I had 4. Man, what did I tell you when we were doing the picks about my 4 spot? I've been making money with USC all season long.
That's right.
It's the only game I won.
Yeah, you kind of threw everybody off with your Rams pick.
Yeah,
remember you set it all up and you're like,
didn't cover it.
I'll take Rams.
They almost did.
I know.
I mean, not almost, but it's still kind of
close enough within
the
ballpark.
Slee, you had 3.
I had 3 guys.
You had 3.
This year, I think I saw the stat that USC has only not covered the spread like twice. It's pretty impressive.
I thought she had a stat for my picks. I thought she was going to say, this year I looked at the stats. Al, you're not good.
The tally, as we sit here through 12 weeks of the season, I still have the lead, but it's very, very narrow right now. It's 67. Emily is in second with 63. Al, you're still in third, but again, the lead has gotten a lot thinner for you.
Yeah.
You have 55, and Taylor is within striking distance at 48. DeMarco Farr still has 1, and Greg Berman has 5.
Thanks, Greg.
It's a good week for Berg.
Yeah, considering he got 0 the last time he did it, that was a little bit better.
I'm just going to look moving forward on my – I'm just going to look at the cover 5. That's it. I'm out on everything
That's
else.
A better one for – you know, I am working at a little bit of a disadvantage in our picks because I take the Rams every week. It feels like I'm basically punting on the 1-point game a lot, and Kansas City felt like a – pretty good bet right there. But what are you going to do? So we're talking about AD and the impact he's had on the team and that he's averaging, you know, 30-plus points and X amount of rebounds. And the statistics have been terrific. Throwing no shade at the statistics at all. But I care less about that than the eye test, right? That for the first time in a long time, Al, AD's out there and you watch the game for 30 seconds. Oh, he's the best player. You don't have to watch the whole game. You just need to watch little pockets here and there.
Yep.
Him right there. Who's you got first pick? Who do you want? I want that guy. I want him. I want Anthony, and it's not close. We haven't said that about him in a really, really long time. And look, I get it. They're playing bad teams. I get it that he's kind of been on his own for a good chunk of this, that LeBron's, you know, working his way back from an injury. He's finally back, but I can't remember the last time I saw him look pain-free, loose, free, and just, I'm the best player here, and you can all get in line behind me. And it's been so fun to watch.
So this is actually kind of funny to to put these last two weeks together, because there's the optimism of what AD's been doing. There's optimism that the Lakers won five of their last six games. There's the optimism that they got a chance here, two games here at home against the Pacers and the Blazers, to pull within two games of 500.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I'm optimistic for all that. And then there's Saturday, AD didn't play. So you got actually a taste of everything. You got AD dominating. You got AD arguably the best player in the NBA for 2 weeks. And then you got AD sitting out on Saturday. So you got a little bit of what makes you so excited about him, and then also what worries you about Anthony Davis. This is an interesting stretch because Bron played on Friday.
Yep.
Not a good game. 9 turnovers on Friday. Talked about postgame, my timing, my this, my that. Saturday comes back, 39 points, 11 rebounds, hit 7 threes. Mm-hmm. What we're hoping for, Trav, is at what point this season, and hopefully it's coming up, that it's back.
LeBron, you're talking about?
That there's a combination of the two. It's going to be different than it was 2 years ago, because I don't need to see Bron fire 10 threes a game. I don't need to see Bron. I don't like seeing Bron take more
shots.
Hopefully
he won't have to.
I don't like seeing Bron take more shots than Anthony Davis either. So can there come a point where it's starting to look like it did a couple years ago, but more importantly, in my opinion, AD is the dominant player and LeBron James is kind of the complement rather than the opposite?
That's the plan. Here's the fear that I have for LeBron specifically. What you just described, I think there's a better than average chance that that's what we're going to get from here on out with LeBron James. Inconsistent play. Because of his age, because of where he is in his 20th season, that this is normal. Let me retract that. It's not normal. That he's still as good as he is at 20 years in is incredibly abnormal. It's so atypical. But you're seeing it more. First of all, he gets hurt far more often than he ever has before.
Yeah.
And even when he does play, there are more clunkers in there than there have been before. It's early in the season. He's nursing. I get it, but I also wouldn't be surprised if this is kind of what you get from him. Not that they're terrible performances, but you'll get the one where he had 38 and we knocked down 7 threes, and then you'll have another one where there was a bunch of turnovers and he couldn't make a shot. I think you're going to get a lot more games like that from him. That's why AD needs to be that
guy
that gives you the same thing every single night. It's more LeBron starting to wane at this point in his career is expected. Probably should have happened a long time ago. AD needs to elevate his game and keep it there regardless of what LeBron's bringing.
I wonder kind of what's the thought process in the front office right now. Let me give you an example. The Lakers got the Pacers tonight. I've heard Miles Turner's name and Buddy Hield's name as if they've been on the roster for 6 months. Right?
At least.
Those names have come up so often over the last X amount of months or whatever the case is. Remember how they were saying, hey, nothing's going to happen. Woj had put out this tweet.
Thanksgiving was kind of the deadline,
like, hey,
right?
That Thanksgiving. And then that got pushed out. And it's like, I think Chris Haynes had put out, no, December 15th when every player is now available.
Right.
Now they'll kind of wait for that date.
It's 2 weeks away.
But they've got closer to at least making it more interesting. If through 20 games they were 5-15, I don't think there's much of a conversation of, well, why are you doing anything?
Yeah.
Now, listen, they lose these next two. They're 7-13 through 20, so that won't make all that much sense. They got a tough road trip that's coming up. They're putting themselves in a position where I'm not telling you they're going to go compete for a championship. I'm not telling you that they're a move away from competing for a championship. But the team looks better. They look better than they did to start the season, and that's promising.
I can't wait for the next couple of weeks because they're going to play against a lot better teams. And I swear I'm not throwing cold water on 5 out of 6. I'm the one that said to you a minute ago, they're hot for the first time in who knows how long. But it has been the Pistons, and it has been the
Spurs.
San Antonio Spurs.
Yes.
It's been those
teams. Fair.
But let's see what it looks like, because if you can be a team that wins as often as it doesn't, with what you have right now, then the idea of a deal is far more interesting to me. Now, you got to weigh that against what it may cost you.
Sure.
You got to weigh it against what the high side of whatever the best version of that team could be. But when they were on a pace to go win 25 games, it's like, don't do anything. Just let this thing expire. Just keep those picks and move on from there. It's a little bit different now because they can beat some people.
Maybe the term, which Emily had mentioned this, that desperate term that we were talking about a couple weeks ago, maybe they're not as desperate. That doesn't mean, like, I want to go back
and
to
this. And you can deal from a position of relative strength.
Russ has been better off the bench. There's at least there's a role. There's this, there's that. We'll see how things shake out.
Real quick, how surprised are you how well that's gone, Russell Westbrook with that second group? It's been really, really good. He's been
okay.
It's as good as could have been expected.
Let me tell you this. I remember before he even went to the bench, there was some conversation that we're having, and John was here, and John was saying, look, for his own career, you have to prove to the NBA that, hey, I can adjust a little bit. I am surprised. I didn't think it would go like this. I didn't think – and he hasn't been perfect. He hasn't been great. There's some games that you're still watching. You're saying, Russ, what are you doing?
Of course.
All that is going to be there. But it's better than I thought it would go. It's been quiet.
Yes, and that it's not all that. It's not every night like, dude, come on, man. Mm-hmm. There are as many good ones as there are
and
that,
we're talking
which is
about
a huge
him less.
It's a huge improvement.
Just talking about him less, I think, sometimes is a good thing.
Anthony Davis has been upgraded to probable for tonight's game against Indiana, so we might get to see a pretty good basketball game.
Yeah.
I'm going to need you to have to retell your tire story again because – that was pretty awesome.
Minding my own business.
And that you're here and in one piece makes me even like the story more. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Unsolicited promotion from the app, Slee. One of my aunts who lives out of the area, doesn't live in Southern California, she lives up north in the Bay Area, she said that she put the app on her phone so she can listen to her favorite nephew every day, and she's like, it's great. I just turn it on, hit the button, and there you are. It's terrific.
Did she say at the end, bam? That'd have been great.
Aunt
That'd
Carol great. Left the bam out of it.
Come on, Aunt
she,
Carol.
She did. It was nice to see her. It was a nice Thanksgiving holiday. Really enjoyed it a great
day. All right, can you kind of walk me through, you said about 15 people?
20.
Okay, 20 people.
Yeah.
What's your game? What do you do during this whole, this is at your parents' house.
Yep.
I'm sure you're trying to roll up your sleeves and help where you can.
Try.
I already know about the one turkey's done. Hey, don't worry, I got another one in the back. Like it was, I don't even know how to explain. It sounded like a black market, like drug deal.
Because I think my dad could see the look on my face like, where's the leftover turkey? Like we got a second,
shoulder
got a second turkey.
So you got a second turkey in the back. Kind of walk me through. How'd you do food-wise?
So I think this may have been a first for me. I think for the first time in my life, I didn't overdo it. And now I got it in.
Yeah.
I had plenty. I had one.
Yeah, I overdid it.
I had one very significant portion of food the first time through. I didn't go back again. I stopped at the one trip. Now,
Did you get one of the big? It was
like a TV tray covered in food. It wasn't quite like that, but it was a lot. Now, I did overdo it on the desserts, right? And that's typically not my deal.
Yeah, that's not you.
But there were like 7 or 8 different things. My dad made me a cake for my birthday, a
very
coconut
nice.
Cake, which I love. I had a piece of that the size of a car battery. And then I had several other
car
pieces
battery.
of pie. It was great. Had a lot of wine. Had a couple of cocktails along the way. It was a terrific meal.
Okay. Dinner ends.
Uh-huh.
I have some curiosity in this one because you and I have had some conversations about everybody's participation at the end.
Yeah.
How was everybody's participation at the end on this wonderful Thanksgiving at your parents' house? Everybody helping out?
I mean, most.
We hitting 80% of our threes?
Oh, yeah, no more than that. We're like Steph at the free throw line. We're shooting 93-94%. Yeah.
But that means
like, this is not going to end well for me. I'd like to eject.
This is 6 or 7% of the free throws missed.
Yeah.
It's not coming from your family.
Well, I'd really rather not.
Let's Focus
just
on
say
the positive
there were some
coconut cake.
There were some situations where it felt like not everybody was pulling on the same end of the rope. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
So you have a team. You have a roster. Okay? Put the roster together.
There's a Russell Westbrook element in the group. Okay?
Do they know? Like, do they know?
I don't know. I try not to think about it. I just put my head down.
You know, some people just don't
know.
Like, they're just not, they're completely oblivious to what is happening.
I don't know.
I think it's got to be more towards that.
It could be. It could be.
But you're the only one that cares as much as everybody.
I think that's probably, well, no. There's one other person that cares as much as I do, which I will not name. So I'm going to leave that to your imagination. But there's, it's not my wife. It's not one of my family members. Yeah. We had a wonderful time.
Even that much of the story, I appreciate.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's just one of those things, like looking at it, like, really?
Especially Thanksgiving, too.
We're going to do.
This is a time to be thankful.
To be thankful for the people that do a lot of stuff for you. Anyway.
Are both of your families that do the, okay, so we're going to go around the circle and say what we're thankful for this year?
No. I wouldn't mind that. I'd be okay with that along the way.
Hell no.
20 people, our though. Family you'd be there an hour and a half.
No, my family usually does it. Didn't do this year because of, obviously, my issues. But typically, it's like a 25, 30-person thing, and they go around slowly and say what we're thankful for. What are you guys thankful for?
Who goes thankful the longest? Allen Robinson's deal is voidable after year two. I don't even know if that's
Allen?
True.
I wonder if you would have said that.
I would have said something like that.
While I would have said, I'm thankful for the 5 out of the last 6 games that the Lakers have won. Thankful for that.
Are you, Travis, thankful that the Panthers didn't take the Rams up on that Brian's Burns offer?
Oh, my gosh. That would have been a catastrophe. Yeah, I'm thankful that the Fernando documentary is in heavy rotation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I'm thankful for. Had a great time.
I always, whenever that happens, like you just described, that definitely does not happen at the Sliwa household. I don't know if that's like a Middle Eastern thing. I don't know what it is.
We so when Susan's dad was alive, we used to do
thing?
A little bit of that. We used to do a little bit of that on her side. We got to see Susan's mom and her aunt and uncle. That was nice. We did that on Saturday, which was Saturday. Mm-hmm. Had a nice little lunch over there with that whole crew. It was great. I had a good weekend, Slee.
If tomorrow or if today, because I told you I had Thanksgiving, I had that food on Thursday. I had that food on Friday. I had that food on Saturday.
And then you bought it.
But a small portion on Saturday, not really much. And then Sunday, it was right back at it as if Thanksgiving is.
At Whole Foods.
I would do it again. If you told me today, hey, I have some Thanksgiving leftovers, let's eat, I'd get right back into
it. Oh, no. If you rolled out a plate with cranberries and stuffing and turkey, I would be all over it.
Look,
right
we're
now.
Talking
Took
about
a day
this.
Off yesterday.
We talked about this on Wednesday when Beto was in. The cranberry thing just.
Not
we
for you.
I don't think we know what to do with it. You know, when people say
super easy. You ready?
And I don't like the canned one.
It's not a can. Got to buy a bag of fresh cranberries.
Okay.
Put them in a pot.
Yeah. This is his. Okay. This is his world.
Sprinkle them with a little because they're super tart. Like they're almost inedible without a little bit of sugar in there. So put a little sugar in there. Squeeze an orange. Get the orange juice in there. Let it bubble until they all pop. Done.
Also,
we have to find something for him. That he can give advice on certain things.
It's that
he's
easy.
Give
it's super easy. Taylor, does that not sound good to you?
Sounds perfect. Yeah. Fresh cranberries.
You know what else you can do if you want to kind of a little Grand Marnier in there too.
Here's the problem. There's dolma and there's curry and there's all this other stuff. I don't know.
I don't
where
know
the
if
cranberry
that fits
goes.
In your menu.
I don't know where it goes.
There. Yeah,
they'd push it to the sideline. They would think, and I would too. It's for dessert.
It's like a jam almost, right? I only eat it on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And the rest of the year, I'm like, I don't need to have that ever again. But on those 2 days, it's really, really good.
They're good on leftover turkey sandwiches to add a little bit of sweetness. Also, another way to work cranberry in, if you don't want to have the cranberry sauce, is to do a cranberry mimosa. When you're watching football, when you're getting the whole dinner ready together, cranberry mimosa, perfect.
It's all new for me. It's all new.
I discovered an old cocktail, but new to me, that is... You ever had a French 75? You ever had that?
I have.
Oh my
god. Really good.
They're terrific. I'd never had one before. I saw one go by. I'm like, what's that? And they said, it's French 75. What's in that? Gin, champagne, and lemon. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to need one of those like right now.
Perfectly on brand. And you can ask Funches next time you see him. He brought up a conversation with us on Wednesday saying, he said, hey, is it wrong to bring Hennessy to the party wherever he's going? And I think what he was trying to get at is he goes hard to the hoop when there's Hennessy. And it immediately made me think, Funches, You took Hennessy on your honeymoon. You're sitting beachside, and you have a full glass of Hennessy. You could take if you do that there in Cancun, you could do that anywhere.
It's no bad way to have a good time, whether it's in Cancun or at Thanksgiving or any other point that he's on Hennessy. That's his deal. That's his jam. That's how he does it.
All right, during this holiday season, ESPN LA and Subaru are partnering with the Folds of Honor Foundation for our inaugural Long Drive-a-thon event. Proceeds raised will provide scholarships to families of America's fallen or disabled military and first responders. Event is taking place on Friday, December 9th at Black Gold Golf Club in Yorba Linda. If you'd like to participate and purchase a green fee, go to blackgoldgolf.com. That's blackgoldgolf.com. Love, it's what makes Subaru Subaru.
All right, we got the dump coming up next, Lee. Plus, I'm going to need you to talk about the your voyage.
Just
on Thursday, Friday, and the fact that you are still without a vehicle. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. All right, so we don't do this very often, but I want to get to the dump coming here in a minute. But take me through what happened to you on the way to San Diego,
man.
The second time in 2 days.
All right, I'll do a quicker version here. So,
no, please, step by step. I enjoyed it a great deal.
Drove down Thanksgiving morning. Down to SD, celebrate Thanksgiving down there, down to El Cajon, and then left around 4:30 p.m. So left like 8:15 in the morning, head down there, have Thanksgiving lunch at my
Did
my
Lady Sleagle with you?
She came with me down there.
Okay.
And then drove back up around 4:30 to go to Hacienda Heights.
So you're rolling there around 6:15?
7-ish.
Okay.
7-ish.
Okay.
Had some traffic, nothing
double,
crazy.
Double Thanksgiving. It's a long day.
And you'd have thought I hadn't eaten anything. I got up there and I'm like, no, let's
Can I just
get
give
started.
You a little radio dap up? I've done that double dip multiple. It's a long day. Good
so
job by
it,
you.
It would have been fine if my mom actually did it earlier on purpose. She did it at noon because she knows other families are going to go somewhere else. But if you're going
good job by mom, sleep.
15 minutes away from where the original one is, that's different, not driving
Two
all the way
hours.
Back up to L.A.
Right.
So I had to come back Friday morning back down to San Diego, back down to El Cajon. I had some stuff to take care of, blah, blah, blah. So I'm back on the road at 8:15, 8:30 in the morning, and I'm driving down. Just enjoying my drive down, having a cup of coffee. I don't know why I drive like this.
Drive
at the 10 and the 2. Sitting there driving, taking my time. This car to my right, one of those motorhomes, just a big vehicle. It's to my right, and then to its right, I don't know why I see, maybe because it's up forward a little bit. It's just another regular small car. I'm all the way at the left lane. Only thing next to me is the double white, and you got the carpool.
Okay.
I ain't going anywhere.
Right.
Right here on my lane. I see both those cars kind of swerve for a quick second, and I have no idea what they're swerving for, have no idea what they're trying to avoid. But
By
like,
the way, if somebody's swerving in a camper, you know that it's something you
something's
want to miss.
Going on. Yeah. So in my head, I'm like, what the hell are these guys doing? So I kind of swerve a little to my left, too, just because they're coming a little bit closer to my lane. Tire. Full tire. The whole thing.
The wheel. Not just the tire. The whole wheel.
The whole wheel.
Yikes.
Just on the 5 in Irvine. I don't know what its exit is. I don't know if it has ways. I don't know what it's doing. But it's got a mind of its own. Comes and just hits the right side of the passenger side of the vehicle. Takes out, you know, obviously the light. The front bumper, forget about it. Cords hanging everywhere. Hits the right side and then just kind of bounces off and goes along where the carpool lane is. There was no other cars and the divider there. It just all happened so quick. I'm like, what the hell just happened? You asked me earlier, was your heart, you know, pounding?
Yeah.
I'm like, no, because I didn't know what the hell just happened.
You didn't see it coming. It just was there. You hit it, and then it was over.
I think the other cars just avoided it.
Okay.
And they just set up this perfect path to hit my car, right? Like they
created a little a run.
A lane.
They opened a hole like a good offensive line.
Exactly what it was. It was a good back just finding a hole, hits my car, and then goes off. And I just kept driving. I had to get down to SD, so I'm like, all right, I don't really.
You didn't think in the moment, I should probably pull over and see how much damage that caused.
I thought about it for about 45 minutes. But I didn't do it because I'm like, all right, the further I'm going here, I'm not having to churn or anything. Nothing's really happening.
No lights are on, no warning lights.
Nothing yet is happening. So I get all the way down to that rest stop, right, before Camp Pendleton,
or before
Oshawa, whatever it is. And I pull over there, and I get out the rest stop, and as I'm churning to park into one of the parking spots, if I turn right, I don't think I hear anything. But I turn left, and when I turn left, you would have thought it was a recycling center, and you're just listening to all the noises out there. eventually used the restroom. I assessed the damage, realized I have no idea what any of this damage
means. So what's
means.
The bumper smashed, the headlight is
bumper
smashed.
Bumper done, headlight done.
Is the hood okay?
Hood, just because I took it to a body shop, they're going to say it's not, but I think it's okay. They're going to do what they do, right? They're going to say, yeah, well, that's, you know, that's
your damaged. Suspension okay?
Yes.
Okay.
Think so. But
by the way, credit to me for knowing two parts of the car.
But
ayo.
Cords hang, you know, wires hanging
from what, the light?
From the light,
okay.
And you know, sensors and whatever else is back there. So then I decided, okay, sounds good. Looks like we assessed the situation. Why don't we drive for another 45 minutes to get to La Mesa, California?
Just got back in the car and went for it.
Got back. And if I, again, I'm going to go, let me emphasize this. As long as I'm going straight, I was good. Just slow down a little bit on a couple churns just to make sure that everything's fine. And before you know it, was filed a claim with State Farm Insurance.
When did you get it to the body shop?
I was there by 11 a.m.
Okay.
So there was no hiccups here. I'm on the phone, figure out the body shop, then figure out, call State Farm, file the whole claim. All that got done, and when I pulled in, I was on the phone with Enterprise, and they were coming to pick me up. It was as if it was like all coordinated 2 days earlier.
So when do you get your car back?
No idea. No idea. None.
Travis is elated.
Okay, can I?
Elated. I just.
Can I also say.
Wouldn't that not be the first question that you ask? Like, hey, when do I get this car back?
They said we can't look at it till Monday.
Of course, holiday, sure.
Right? And there were other cars in there.
Supply chain.
Okay, so leave that to the side. Would you have done this when I got the rental car? I drive for maybe 10 minutes and a light comes on, malfunction, this, and it's. You know, it's putting up these lights that I have to go look at the owner's manual to go see what the heck is the deal. I'm like, I'm not going back there. So I'm just dismissing whatever is on there, and I just kept driving. I'm like,
it's not my car.
It's a 2021 Altima that I'm renting.
I respect the, hey, not my problem.
You guys figure it out.
But the problem is you could have got halfway home and the thing stops. Now you're stuck a second time in a few hours.
Take another rental car. It's Enterprise's problem.
You're just going to have like this breadcrumb trail, only it's going to be vehicles
how about
Pasadena
the way,
and San Diego.
How about the way they start with, okay, hey, this is your coverage. It's X amount of dollars per day. That gets you that car. I'm like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it's a tin can.
This big. For $5 more per day, gets you that car. I'm like, all right, it's a little bit bigger.
Keep going.
For $10 more. Gets you that car. I'm like, all right, well, that I look at least a little bit more respectful in. I'll take the $10 damage a day.
Yeah, okay.
They got me on that.
Well, it depends.
Oh,
if you keep
up.
It for a couple weeks. Yeah, it could. You're going to order a couple of $100 on top of it.
Be an Enterprise in a week going with a small car.
Give me the Ford Fiesta.
Smart car.
Yeah, the smart car. Exactly right. Got the lawnmower engine in the back and you're ready to go. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad that that story happened and no one got hurt.
How was the second round story?
It's great.
It was good?
Was great. I loved everything about it.
Good.
I like the fact that your rental is potentially going to blow up on you too. That makes it exciting.
Every light you could think of was coming on. It's like Christmas lights.
Not my car. Yeah. Dismissed.
You guys should figure that out.
You should absolutely do that. It is Randy Newman's 78th birthday today. I believe he's an Academy Award winner. And of course, he did this. No matter what else, this is the anthem for L.A. Has been since it's come out like 84, 85, something like that. I remember it being part of the Showtime Lakers. This is iconic.
When
Dodger
comes
Stadium
on
everywhere.
When that comes on at Crypto, you know Lakers got a W.
Yeah. Well, every time you win a game, right?
Yeah.
Anywhere in here. Throw it on, and it's a good way to do it. Tiger Woods is not going to play in this week's Hero World Challenge. He's got a foot injury. He still intends to participate in the match in the PNC Championship. Is it weird that I'm curious whether or not his son Charlie will still get to play because I really want to watch the kid play. He swings just like the old man. He seems to love it. So I'll be his plus one if he needs somebody to go play with because I want to see Charlie play.
Will you watch?
If Charlie plays, I'll watch.
Yeah.
The rest of it's kind of a hit and giggle thing.
He's close with Justin Thomas. I guess he could play with Justin Thomas, who doesn't have any kids.
There you go.
Justin Thomas normally plays in that thing with his dad.
Yeah.
So you could do it that way, but my guess is Charlie's out.
Probably, right?
You need
but his sister or probably plays, right? Just put the two kids out there, something. I need some Charlie in my life.
I think you need a pro. I think in order to compete, you need a pro.
Charlie's not a pro, but he's pretty darn good.
Yeah, one day. Yeah, one day will be.
Not too bad to do it. Let's do a little Supercross talk. Woo, 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 woo. I was waiting to hear it from Mace. Mace is on Comrex today. Ireland is here in the house with us. How was your Thanksgiving, fellas?
Well, I was in San Antonio, so it was not all that it could be cracked up to be, that's for sure.
Did you enjoy Riverwalk Thanksgiving or something like that?
No, none of the above. Just I did get out and play golf with Austin Reeves, who missed a hole-in-one by 1 inch.
No kidding.
Yeah, he's never had one, but he missed it by 1 inch. Not kidding.
Where'd you guys leave? Did you guys leave San Antonio on Saturday after the game?
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. We were there. We flew in on Thanksgiving Day. We were there Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Do you celebrate Thanksgiving with the team? Like how does that go?
We
you
had
get some turkeys.
We had they did a dinner for all the broadcasting.
Okay,
So that was fun and that was nice for the Lakers to do. So I ate with Michael and Stu and Billy Mack and Trudell and all those guys. So that was fun. But I don't know if I've mentioned this, but I probably have 25 times. Somebody at the league office hates the Lakers because we were kneecapped this year out of Thanksgiving, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, and New Year's Day. We're on the road for all five. So, and that's never happened before.
Any idea who alienated somebody?
No, but I've always thought that there's a Laker tax. I'll give you guys another example. They just announced the NBA Players of the Week.
Okay.
And the NBA Western Conference Player of the Week is DeAndre Ayton. On Wednesday of the week in which Ayton won the award,
oh my gosh.
Anthony Davis went 37, 21, 5 blocks, 5 steals against
DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
For the week, AD was 30 points, 18 rebounds, 67%. Ayton was 24 points, 15, less in every category. Yet there's a Laker tax.
That makes no sense.
They want to give the Lakers nothing. I don't know if it's because we have an agent for a GM or it's because we're the Lakers or whatever, but that's
Slee pushed back on me a little bit when I said that the Lakers were hot. 5 out of 6. I didn't say they're good, but 5 out of 6 is hot, right?
You know there's a difference between hot and good.
Sure, of course there is.
No, you use the right word. They're hot.
They're hot.
And it's easier to get hot when the other team is bad, and that's been the case.
Well, and here's the funny thing. Listen, the Lakers starting the season out 2-10 and getting a chance – if they beat the Pacers and the Blazers, I don't want to talk ahead of myself, they'd be 9-11. You'd be 25% through the season, and you're actually close to 500. That's unbelievable. So I don't want to take anything away from them, but it was just funny to hear you describe it that way. I was like, oh, well, that threw me off a little bit.
It is what it is. You win 5 out of 6, you're hot. Mace, are you there?
Yes, I am here, checking in.
There you go.
Checking in. Sibilance,
How was your holiday, Mace?
I'll be honest. It was not the greatest of holidays.
You've been sick, right?
I came down with a case of this, excuse me, RSV.
Ooh.
That has been going around. So I.
What does RSV stand for? The R is respiratory, right?
Yeah.
What's the SV?
Really sucks.
Sucks very much.
I'm guessing
very
the V much, is virus. Like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's the V is the virus. S? Really sucks virus. I don't know.
There it could be.
Respiratory something or other. So I was in bed for a lot of the time. Didn't get to go see mom and not stepdad Leo out in the desert because I didn't want to bring sick home to them and all that kind of stuff. But I got to watch a lot of games. I was excited by the SC game on Saturday night. They looked fantastic. I wish I had been there because it looked like the Coliseum was rocking for the first time really this year.
It looked like it used to look. It looked like it looked when they were competing for national championships, when they were competing to get into the college football playoff. It has not looked like that for a really long time.
I was thinking about something in terms of executive moves in the history of Los Angeles. Okay. When USC named Carol Folt president and Mike Bone athletic director, for a good year and a half, everyone hated those two.
Yep.
Even the SC people hated them. I heard from, I live on a street that's 90% SC alums. Grew up in Newport Beach, which is the number one feeder city to USC. Everybody I heard from, Carol Folt doesn't get it. Mike Bone is incompetent. That's the word you heard more than anything else to describe those two, is incompetent. And in one move, they pay Lincoln Riley $100 million. I have not heard the name Carol Folt or Mike Bone since that day.
And that's, by the way, it's the way it should be.
Right.
You shouldn't have to know the name of your university president or even the AD in order to go and root for your team. The thing that they were handicapped by or hamstrung by is the fact that they had all this outstanding litigation and all kinds of stuff, so they didn't focus on the football program because they couldn't focus on the football program. That's why Clay Helton had to hang around for a couple of years. And ultimately, when they did make that announcement, it was out of the blue.
Yep.
There were no rumors. I didn't see any college football reporters say, well, they're talking.
Well,
I'll take it a step further. I live two doors down from Bruce Feldman, who's the best college football reporter in the country. Bruce didn't hear about it until the morning they announced it. Yeah. In other words, like he got tipped at like 10 in the morning, mm-hmm. and they announced it at 1 o'clock. He's normally weeks ahead of that stuff.
It wasn't, quite honestly, it felt like the opportunities that SC had to hire the guy were maybe a thing of the past. Because you when you see the candidates that they were always bringing up, it felt like you were either looking for an up-and-coming guy or a guy who was kind of middle of the road, another Pac-12 guy, that they were able to go pick one of the best coaches in the country out of another prestigious program. It's not like Luke Fickell at Cincinnati, where obviously he's going to take an upgrade at some point. Maybe it's Wisconsin. But he had one of those programs. Oklahoma is one of those programs. And they basically said, whatever it takes. And we all know the package that they put together for him. But not only did they get the right guy, then the right guy went out and got the right guys. That you go out and get Williams, you get Addison, you rebuild that offensive line. You go through everything that they've done. They didn't miss a trick, and that's what SC is. You can get it back like that there, like you can't anywhere else.
It would have been great had Lincoln Riley just taken Mario Williams from Oklahoma and brought him here, mm-hmm. which he did. But when he went and got Caleb, and then he went and got Dye, and then he went and got Addison, Mario Williams almost fell into the afterthought pile.
It's staggering. The turnaround in 1 year is just, I mean, a year ago we were sitting here saying they were 4-8. And they were irrelevant, and nobody talked about USC, and they were boring and dull and all that stuff.
Gave up 65 points to UCLA.
Got embarrassed by UCLA. Mm-hmm. And to sit here now, a year later, I mean, what he has done is he's raised the program from the dead. I mean, but I think you're right, Brian, or Travis. The ingredients were always there for this thing to turn around.
It is
USC. It is, all of the resources that USC has got. It is a name brand in college football. And that's why I think at the end of the day, as long as they win, and I don't know what the playoff system is going to say tomorrow night, but as long as they win.
Yeah,
on Friday they're in the playoffs.
All right, I'm gonna throw this at you, Trav. It's not even just look a couple weeks ago. Even a couple weeks ago, the conversation was, I didn't think they were gonna win all three of these.
I didn't think
UCLA, Notre Dame, and they still got obviously win on Friday. But even a couple weeks ago, the conversation was still not, you're gonna get in the college football championship. It was, hey, put some respect. See what happens. Even if they're in the Rose Bowl, what a great accomplishment. They'll win away from getting in. Caleb Williams probably locked up the Heisman Trophy Award. That the fact that they're now one away from making all that happen this first year.
So I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. Al and I were talking about this earlier. Short of an absolute disastrous Friday night, like a 4-5 interception game and they get housed by Utah, is there anything he can do to not win the Heisman Trophy at this point? It feels like he put, with the performance against UCLA in front of the entire country, with the performance against Notre Dame in front of the entire country, it feels like it is his trophy at this point, short of an absolute disaster on Friday.
Completely agree with that. And, in fact, I think the second guy in the Heisman Trophy odds is C.J. Stroud, who had a terrible game against Michigan.
And doesn't have any more games.
No, he's
so he can't shake it off.
Yeah, and I think that Heisman Trophies are won late in the year. Heisman Trophies are won in marquee games that everybody is watching, like that SC Notre Dame game. That's when you actually.
Hey, that UCLA game was nationally televised.
Sure.
And that was too, right. And this next one, although it's a Friday, it'll be nationally televised, but it's again against they're still ranked, right? Oregon's still ranked, right?
Well, they play Utah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Utah's still ranked.
Yeah, not only are they ranked, Mace, I think they're like 12th or 13th. They're highly ranked.
And
yeah.
The best news is he can avenge his one loss, in which he had a good game the first time. It was the defense's fault.
You guys like it that they got Utah instead of Oregon? Because Oregon felt as crazy as their coach is going for it on fourth down every single time.
He's got 2 L's on Saturday. Himself.
But that was a team that's got a really good quarterback that can make a bunch of plays, that can score a bunch of points. This feels like potentially a better matchup for them.
I like it for the sake of closure. In other words, they did lose to Utah. Winning now would actually send a message that, yeah, we lost by a point on the road but yeah. We're really a lot better than that. So I think there's sort of a cherry on top is beating Utah in the championship game.
So John or Mace, you have RSV and you're in bed, you're watching games on TV. That's a bad Thanksgiving holiday. But did you hear Emily's saga that she had over
the
weekend?
What now with this girl? What,
Emily? Would you like to tell it or would you like me to do it?
Well, I noticed him. You're wearing a mask. Does that have something to do with this story?
Yes.
Yeah. So okay. I'm tested negative. So okay. Don't worry about that. But I was feeling poor last Sunday, and that's the day I was supposed to fly out. So I thought, okay, maybe I'm just tired. I'd been up late the last two nights, so I'm just going to push through it, get to South Carolina. So got to South Carolina, worked. It was an overnight. So I got there on Monday morning, worked the show. I was barely conscious while working the show. And then afterwards, I went right to bed. So then Tuesday, I got a COVID test, and I tested positive.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yep.
Your first COVID test, when you tested negative, was that a home
negative
test?
No, negative now.
Oh,
yeah.
Were any of these home tests?
No, they're all from CVS.
I think you guys know that I tested positive for COVID 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I took a home test on a Tuesday and I was negative. But I still felt lousy. So Wednesday I went to the doctor and he goes, well, let me just test you. I know you got tested yesterday, but let me just test you because you're here. And that's when it was positive. I don't trust those home tests.
Yeah, they feel
the
like...
home tests are hit and miss. There are a lot of false negatives and a lot of false positives.
It's 50-50.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, so what's the point of taking the test, really?
Right. Wait, she's not done yet, by the way. She's just getting started.
Okay, warmed up.
Right. Right, so go ahead. I interrupted you.
Then,
so now you test positive on Tuesday.
Yes, the elderly have not arrived at the house yet, which is good. But my family that I stayed at, the place I stayed at has two master bedrooms. So I set up in the one master bedroom and my aunt and uncle in the other one. And I have a little balcony where my family can sit on the ground and socialize with me from the balcony. And
Rapunzel'd up in the upper balcony.
Exactly. And then I, had an old TV in there. And this TV is the oldest TV I've seen in years. It's
black and white?
Not black and white, but it has a VHS player and a DVD player still. It's attached to it. And so,
just so you understand, a VHS to her is black and white for you and me.
Yeah right. True.
Right. And so then I, feel crappy, left South Carolina on Friday, wore masks and stuff on the plane. And then I got back to here, and my car was parked at Amanda's because she lives right next to the airport. And I try to get into my car, and the car is locked but will not open. I have a fob that's like a remote control, will not open. I try a bunch of things. And so then I also try the, hidden key in my fob. There's no ridges in it, so it does not open my car. So then I Uber back home. Again, this is after a long
And you still have COVID.
COVID at this point. And so then on Saturday morning, I wake up, go to AutoZone, get a new battery for my fob. Doesn't really work. And
that
then
didn't solve the problem.
The problem.
Okay.
Uber to my car. I have to call AAA. They unlock my car and they jump my car, and my battery is essentially dead. So I'm going to have to get my battery replaced. This battery is less than a year old. So I'm just, it was a very rough week for Emily.
So Mace, you had RSV, but you didn't have to fly across the country twice with it and then
correct.
Get back to LAX and have a dead
and
battery.
Just your car's not working.
Yeah, and then you wrecked your car, Slee. Is that the other thing?
I didn't wreck my car. There was a tire traveling.
Is your car drivable?
Currently, it's at a body shop.
Yeah,
then you wrecked your car.
Wreck my car.
Sounds like three of the four of us had less than optimal Thanksgiving.
And then John,
you're the big winner.
I had a wonderful
Thanksgiving in San Antonio. Yeah, had a tire traveling on the four, on the five. Just
well,
in Irvine.
At least Travis had a good.
Yeah, I got to spend time with friends and family, and had a nice meal, and he traveled
keeps
safely.
Asking, and he keeps asking for these stories to be repeated. He's like, just wants to embrace.
Well,
Trav,
if you want
more.
To, you can go with me on Thursday and do all the garden spots on this next trip.
Where you
Milwaukee, Ooh. Cleveland, Ooh. DC, all of them.
Ooh, DC is not so bad, right?
That's well, it's except that we leave for Toronto immediately after the game and play there the next night.
So you're in and out,
and have to go through customs. Like in the middle of all that, I think if you're going to pick a game that the Lakers might struggle, pick the Toronto game.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're going to get in about 5 a.m. But yeah, this is the cold weather December nightmare trip. And by I heard you guys talking about the Lakers. I think this trip, this 6-game trip, will let us know if this previous 6 games is for real.
Come back 3-3.
Yeah, I would take 3-3 right now.
Yeah,
2-4 with the teams that you're playing too would feel from what. It's weird. Where they started was a disaster.
Yeah.
Got a little bit better. And now for the last 6 games, even the game they lost, they played reasonably well against
a
good team. They were in the game. So, look, like you said, Al, you get to the quarter pole of the season and you're near 500. That's a huge success considering how they started. Because that does, I understand the beginning of the season, and you said 500 through 20 games. Yeah, whatever. But what were they? 2-8?
2-10.
2-10.
2-10, yeah.
2-10 to get to 500 at that point or close to it. That's a huge win.
Yeah, but I think like Mason already has declared that they are not going to be in the postseason, that they're out. And I think most Laker fans feel that way after the 2-10 start. I've said all along, I thought they were going to be around 500 after 20 games because of the schedule.
Even with the 2-10 start.
Yeah. I think that now, though, this 6-game trip is going to be hard.
You think that it's more,
December
less likely
is brutal.
Or the same that they make a deal considering that they've gotten a little bit of mo?
I think they'll do something. I don't know what they'll do, but I think they'll do something. Rob almost always does something every year. So I don't know what it is, but I'm
more interested in it now than I was 2 weeks ago, because then it just seemed like you're shuffling deck chairs at that point. But
yeah, now it's not like just straight losing. Now there's reasons. There are actually reasons for optimism. I mean, Westbrook's been great off the bench, and Anthony Davis is playing like a guy we haven't seen in
apparently
a while.
Apparently not the player of the week.
And no, not but, good but enough not, to be the player of the week. Yeah.
Not enough to top DeAndre Ayton.
Refresh my memory. Who's the guy that hit Russ in the head and split him open?
Zach Collins.
Zach Collins got very lucky that LeBron was there. That could have gone a different way.
Well, or you could say that a different way. Russ got very lucky that LeBron was there.
Well, that too, yeah.
Because if Russ goes –
That's
you know,
right.
You know what, on yep. Zach Collins' face, then Patrick Beverly has company in the penalty box.
Well, when you get that amount of blood, too, you think, okay, this is about to get real. LeBron has saved the day on multiple occasions. Happy Thanksgiving. Good to see you guys again. Mason and Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.